Before we jump in, a warning that we are an explicit book podcast.
Yes, that means swearing, shitty jokes, and a whole lot of dark humour that some may take offence to.
Please check your trigger warnings on all of the books we cover.
You've been warned.
The episode starts in 3, 2, 1.
A book and a bear.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of A Book and a Bev. We are your normal co-hosts, Bryony and Georgia. As we said last week, Ellie is MIA. But this week, we are joined by a very special guest. None other than a little bit booked, aka Jess.
Yay, thanks guys. I'm a big fan and I love all things smutty, all things spicy, all things fantasy, romance. I pretty much agree with everything you guys say.
I love this. I love this so much. We are so happy to have you and thank you so much for joining us for this lovely, lovely episode.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. Evil laugh.
Yeah. I'm excited.
This week we are sinking our teeth into the novella Six Scorched Roses by Carissa Broadbent. And that's like Serpent on the Wings of Night, Ashes in the Starkest King, that series. In this book, we finally get Vale and Lilith's backstory in like a short and sweet 26 chapters. And like, honestly, we just want more. So let's shut the fuck in and let's go.
Let's shut the fuck in. Shut the door.
Shut the front door.
Shut the fuck in.
That's what we're doing.
In unsurprising news, I'm drinking Jack and Coke, and I'm saying it's something dark. Yes. It's thematic.
We won't question it.
Excuse for a Jack.
Yeah.
We don't ask questions of what I have in my fridge. I just use what's available to me. Pink gin and Mountain Dew. Nice. And I'm also in red, so I am a rose. Red rose, kind of pink rose. Six scorched roses. I am singular, though.
Singular, not plural.
Singular rose.
I was going to go with like a Pinot, thinking blood, red, bring it on. And then I was looking in the fridge going, rosé, you dickhead. Like, roses. Rosé.
What did we think of the book?
Well, this book was absolutely brilliant. I want more, I need more, and I will beg on my hands and knees to Carissa herself if I can get more. Lilith and Vale were such a great match. Lilith, who like isn't afraid of dying and death in general, and Vale, who has been feared his whole life by everyone around him, all the humans. And I just love how this entire book was just like Vale being like, you're not scared of me, this incredible, crazy, like mysterious monster. And Lilith is just like, look, I got bigger things to fucking worry about. Just sit down.
You're just a man. It's not that deep.
It's not that deep. I just loved it so much. Yeah. And Carissa has done like such a good job of this entire series. So it was no really surprise to me that she had done so good with this like little tiny snippet of their life. But I am craving more. So that would be appreciated, Carissa, if you're here, because I know that you're an avid listener of this podcast. Give me more, please.
I have to agree, but I have not read Ashes, so that kind of puts me at a bit of a disadvantage, I think. I went into the novella straight after Serpents because it came out pretty much straight away and I just loved it. I love a novella. Something that they're quick to the point, they suck you in, spit you out, all in the space of 2 hours, and you just sit there like, oh, start again. But no, I loved it. Their story, I'm the same. She doesn't fear death. She just walks into his lair with no shits given. And she's like, yeah, well, I'm here and I need your blood. I don't care that you can kill me. So go for it. I enjoyed going back through it as well recently and realizing why I loved it so much in the first place. Maybe that's why I don't want to read Ashes yet, because I don't want it to end. Like, you guys that's are fair. In this slump. Like, it's done. Whereas I'm like, no, prolonging the love.
Yes. I'm the exact same. With big series, I'll put off reading like the second book if I really like the first one, because I'm like, I don't want to yet. I need to be ready for myself to spiral, and I just I'm not prepared for that yet. So
it's not over until it's over.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, this book was exactly what I needed to scratch my Carissa Broadbent itch. Like you guys said, I loved Lilith. She is like, why would I fuck around with anything? And Vale is like my favorite type of super old love interest. Okay. Although he's like been around for hundreds of years, like the audacity of this mortal woman has him like absolutely shooketh. I love it. It's a lovely short fantasy read that is just a blast. It, dynamic is giving me like Dracula and Lisa from Castlevania. So, of course, like I'm about that life. If you know, you know. I want more. I really liked them.
Yeah, it's quite quick. Yeah. And you don't realise how quick it is until it's over.
Yeah.
So in this book, we have Lilith, our FMC, who is dying, wants to save her village and her sissy, and is a workaholic.
We love her.
Yeah, we love her.
That bitch needs a day off.
She does.
Calm yo shit, dying woman.
She is girl bossing against her will and honestly she relatable. Then we've got Vale, Vep Daddy. Sexy. Yeah, Daddy. With curly chest hair, which makes me uncomfy.
Yeah, that makes me uncomfy. I don't know why. I just picture like a pig's tail, but like a million of them. And he does that when he talks to you. He twirls it like this. Makes a lot of eye contact.
Picturing like Henry Cavill. Like, have you seen his chest hair?
That. Now, I was not picturing no pig.
Yes. Okay. All right, we'll switch it. Henry Cavill's chest. Okay, that's fine. We'll switch.
Good. I think we had
approve this message.
We'll put that on a shirt. Jess approves this message. Henry Cavill's chest hair.
No pigtails.
No pigtails. We've got Mina, who is little sis who is also dying. My worst nightmare because she leaves dust everywhere.
I have a problem where I clean like a psychopath. Like I have a problem where like I can't stop. So like this is my nightmare. Like if you trail dust, get out of my sight.
It actually makes me feel a little bit sick. Like just the thought.
Human remains.
No. I agree.
Humans in general, you know, as well. Just like
therefore like a hard character to kind of warm to. Because you're reading it going, I feel for you, but also stay away.
Yeah.
Stay away.
If you could just hurry up and die, that would actually be appreciated. Thanks.
Yeah. Stop breathing.
More important things to do than to clean up after you everywhere you walk.
Yeah.
Georgia's just taking out the town, actually.
I am.
It's not the plague, it's Georgia. She's like, no.
I am the fucking plague. Not worth it.
I don't know what I was picturing but it was gross.
Yeah.
Movie. I just thought, all I could picture is like them sort of half decaying and like walking around just like moth.
Yeah, they've just got like pieces of their skin.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's baby Sears. She's just dusting. And then we've got Pharaoh, who is a scientist who wants Lilith and is low-key a good guy, but we don't trust him because no man is good.
Yeah.
Then we've got, I want to say Vitaris.
Yeah. I went Vitaris.
But we're going to call him Vix Vapor Drops. So we start the book off with an introduction into the terminal illness of our FMC, Lilith. And she was born sick, and I love it. And I'm so sorry for referencing Hosier in this moment.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Come on, you got to sing it now.
Lilith is like, me and death are besties, as my town is cursed by the god of abundance and decay, who is petty as fuck. It's been over 15 years and everything is withering and dying, and the curse is described as like a layer of rancid dust as people just dissolve. Gross. No. Lilith is also a neat freak, which we appreciate. We meet Mina Miathopolis, Rinaldi, Princess of Genovia.
My god.
She's very unwell, and the motivation for Lilith pursuing a scientific cure to the curse. She is so motivated that she becomes a Mormon and goes door knocking.
Oh my gosh.
And it is Vale, which I like. It's very mysterious. It's a great name for a vampire. Care. And when he smiles at her, like to show his fangs, her fear is promptly thrown out the window as she is just so damn curious. And honestly, like her confidence is amazing. I kind of want that for myself. You just waltz into like a life or death situation. You're like, I am that bitch.
Hello, listeners. This is an editing note. As Bryony is editing this, unfortunately, we realize that Bryony, and why do I keep talking in third person? Bryony had some video issues with the first part of this recording. You will notice that if you're watching the YouTube video, because I look like one of those people in Into the Spider-Verse when I'm in my wrong universe. So unfortunately we lost a little bit of the recording, but basically that was just me summarizing that Lilith asked Vale for his blood and he was so bamboozled that he was like, sure babe.
Lilith is hyped the fuck up after getting this contraband vampy blood, so much so that when her sick sissy is like, oh my gosh, stay and watch me desiccate, Lilith is like, my love for my sister does not mean shit. I need to hustle to save you because I was never meant to be alive.
the drama.
Lilith meets with her friend Pharaoh, who like lives across the sea in another town, and they're science besties, but she doesn't want to risk him with this illegal vampy blood. Lilith is done praying for a response that never comes, because again, everyone's like, thoughts and prayers, and she's like, when has that ever worked?
Yeah, no.
Pharaoh is like, oh my gosh, so risky.
Nothing wrong with a little bit of risk.
Especially when vampires are involved.
Look, I would have been at Bale's house already.
I'm against the window. Hello, sir.
Yeah.
Hi. I'm here.
Especially if he's Henry Cavill.
Yeah, look, ain't no piggy tails, okay? We got Henry Cavill.
Yeah, we got Henry Cavill.
A little bit of hair.
Oh, beautiful man.
Slay.
It works, vampires, slay.
Slay.
Pharaoh wants her to stay because he loves her, but for Lilith, that's unfair, as she just won't live long enough to give him the life he deserves. And we get this quote, it is, after all, a waste to love a thing that will soon be gone. That's sad.
That is sad. Is it though?
Live, laugh, yeah, love, my dude. On. Like.
Yeah. No, I feel for Pharaoh. You know, you can go back to all different types of books where there's the first interest where it's like, no, I can't. We can never be. And then all of a sudden it's like, you, take me now. I don't give a shit that I die tomorrow. Pharaoh, you just weren't good enough.
You just weren't there. No. You were not up to snuff, babe, and that's fine. You know?
Didn't make the coochie purr, if you will.
Absolutely
yeah.
not. No fanny flutters.
Single.
No titty tingles. No fanny flutters.
Sorry, Pharaoh, you just didn't make the cut.
No, you didn't. Not even a participation ribbon.
Oh my god, they make a ribbon out of like the dead people dust.
No.
They somehow like mold it and they put it in like a resin tin and then they put resin on it and then like they make it into like a hard thing.
You're
and
crafting.
They can like just I'm in my craft era. So here you go. A resin dead person ribbon of participation.
That's how Georgia wants to go out. Okay. I want this to go down in history.
A cutting board. Yeah.
When she goes, it's ashes turn into something made of resin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, look, I don't want one. Appreciate it.
You're like, please don't send me one, please.
No.
Like, every time we say dust, I'm like,
yeah.
Lilith heads to get more blood from Vale, but he doesn't answer the door, and so she just, like, lets herself in and starts looking around. She hears a noise, and, like, not a cry of pain over a stubbed toe. It is, like, the cries of pleasure from the woman that Vale is fucking. Oh, my God, he knows other women?
How dare he?
I love this part. I love this part.
Like, I mean, the door is wide open, so obviously she has to look in, right?
Of course. Yeah.
She's come this far. And then she comes that far.
She does, indeed.
Well, then he does, and we all watch by going, ooh.
We're all in the doorway.
We're in the corner.
Yeah, we're just hiding on the wall. Like,
yeah,
is that a pigtail or is that?
The quote we get is, entangled over it too were two figures so entwined. I wasn't sure when one of them ended and the other began. She was beneath him, an expanse of golden skin gleaming beneath the messy curls of red hair, and he leaned over her and clutched her hips from behind. I mostly saw his back and her tangles of hair, her arms splayed and gripping the bed sheets to brace herself as he drove into her viciously. With every thrust, his muscles flexed beneath his skin, rippling over the broad expanse of his back, the curve of his backside, the lean muscle of his upper thighs. He looked as majestic and beautiful as those wings had.
Vampy gasp.
Vampy gasp.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a beautiful paragraph.
It's a beautiful.
Quite PG. But yeah. The way she writes it, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You can
like,
picture
I feel
it.
Like
the
I'm there. Yes.
Is rocking.
It's going through the wall.
I am Lilith at the door, just standing like
in the bed.
Yeah. Georgia's the rose next to the bed.
Doing great, guys.
Do you guys need any snacks? A condom? Let me know.
Oh, I love you so much.
Lilith is frozen watching this unfold. And then, of course, once they come, she makes a noise. Vale is like, excuse me? What are you doing in my house?
What are you doing in my swamp?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
He like just kicks the chick out. He's like, goodbye, wench. And then puts on like a very dramatic robe, which Lilith is like, are you serious right now?
I love it. I love it so much. Him just being like, I imagine him just like...
Yeah, it's like full Dracula, isn't it? It's just...
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
It's one of those robes that, like, you get if your husband has died of mysterious circumstances with the fur on the edge. He's just like, what are you talking about? It's all the fashion.
Yeah, you look great, darling.
Vale is like, you have seen my anus, so no more titles, please. And the banter only continues from there with Vale trying to get under her skin about sex and Lilith being like, shut up, old bored man. Yeah. Vale makes like a judgy comment about Lilith never traveling or experiencing the world. It's almost like she's a peasant, Vale.
It's almost as if she hasn't lived 100 years. Like,
yeah, and she's dying.
Yeah, it's almost like she is a peasant and she's dying.
We get this moment where she says, not all of us have the resources to travel, and he says, like, humans and your money, which again, such an old man response, but anyways. Lilith says, I didn't say money, I said resources. He glanced at me in confusion. I give him a grim smile. Time, Vale, I said. Time is the most valuable resource of all, and some of us are perpetually short.
Aww.
Sad, Slay.
Even baddies get the saddies, it's fine.
Like...
Oh my god, that's me! Even baddies get the saddies!
As Vale walks Lilith out, we get more banter as she's just like, again, she's super curious and he is again bamboozled by the fact that she is not scared of him. But they seem to understand each other, like, despite their limited experience with each other, and we get the vibes that they're just like kindred flames. He offers her like accommodation for the night rather than her walking home. And he is like, you could stay for the night, like as a guest or as my lover.
Oh
yeah. And what's our answer? Yeah.
Well, my shirt's already off. I'm actually already in the nude. That's just how I traverse.
I'm on the bed. Your robe. Just in the corner, like, what?
I'm naked.
Where did you come from?
He thinks he's let you outside. He's like, all right, bye, get home safe, closes the door. He goes back upstairs to his bedroom, and you're just on the bed, like, take me as I am, Vale.
But he's robe.
Yeah. She's got two roses, each nipple, and then a rose at cooch.
Not out the cooch.
Thorny, it's though.
Down between, like, the labia lips. Yeah. My flowers.
Look, let's be honest. He's not going to mind the thorns, is he? He's not going to mind.
No. It's like it's just snacks. Lilith takes this moment to talk about if she smells funny. And she goes, vampires have a good sense of smell, don't you? He, like, moves closer and he's like, yes. And she's like, do you smell me? And he's like, yes, acutely. And she's like, oh my God. Ooh. She says, is it difficult for you? And then he's like, are you asking if I'm tempted by you? He leaned closer still, my back pressed to the doorframe. I remained very, very still, even as he stepped closer, our bodies almost but not quite touching. He lowered his head, so his lips nearly came to my throat. I didn't move. My breath had gotten shallow. My heart beat faster.
Oh my God. I love that. Also, my worst fear is like smelling bad.
No, I can't deal with smells. So we're very similar. But like, smell me, baby.
Smell me.
And like, you know what she means by like, can you smell me? Like, as in like, I'm turned the fuck on right now. Can you smell like, my horn dogness?
Is she being innocent or like, is she thinking like, oh, you can smell my blood? Or is she actually completely on top of this and she knows exactly what he's saying?
Lilith is well read. So she's obviously read fantasy books. So she knows that a fictional man can smell her arousal. That's just how it works.
It's just how it fucking works.
It's just the rules.
We don't make them. We just abide by them.
Yeah. Live, laugh, love. So she promptly leaves because she's like, actually, that's a bit distressing. I'm super worried about my smell. And he watches her leave. So that seems super chill.
On your journey, love. Buck up.
Buck up.
She's taken his blood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got blood. So Lilith is well and truly into her experimentation phase. She's looking at his blood, but she's using rats as test dummies. Look, they're already ill. She's not a monster, obviously. But it's been 3 weeks since she last visited Vale. And after the success of the rat tests, too soon. She sets off a little earlier than expected. Now, we can take this two ways. She's either going earlier because she needs the blood, or she's going earlier because, like,
she needs that blood.
We would. She needs that blood.
Wink,
she
wink.
Needs it.
Nudge, nudge.
Lilith comes across a pretty shitty situation here. She's cornered by five men, eager to take whatever she has to offer. When it comes to these fantasy books, I think this happens quite a lot. There's always this, like, initial
borderline sexual assault.
Yeah, borderline sexual assault that you're kind of uncomfortable reading, but you want to keep reading to get to the main point.
point, and they try and take all her instruments. And being a peasant, as we've made very clear, she begs them to take anything else, and they reply with her dress. But as she's unbuttoning, who shall come to her rescue? Robe and all. Male. This whole scene is like Beauty and the Beast vibes.
Yeah,
with the wolves.
Yes.
Yeah, with the wolves, and she's being attacked, and he comes to the rescue. Instead of sort of just hitting them off, he's like decapitating them.
Nice.
Like, oh, cool. So fucking cool. Hot.
Yes, yeah, so hot. Like, and it continues to be so as she has to stay with him to recover from her stab wound. Swoon. Oh, let me stay in your manor whilst I recover.
Do you have any other robes?
Yeah. It's like when you go to a hotel and there's the free bathrobe, but like you're meant to leave it for laundry and you're just like, get in the bag.
Well, she says, you killed them. And he said, yeah, I rescued you. Thank
Semantics.
You. He rescued you, bitch. Yes, he killed them, but was that or they kill you or do something worse? So yeah, I'm pretty sure he says something along those lines too. I love the whole scene. Like I said, Beauty and the Beast vibes the whole time.
Yeah. Frothing over it, honestly.
Me too. The pigtails like come out, just robe off.
It's the pigtails while he's wearing the robe. His hair is
all of it.
He's got his hair in pigtails, and then each of his hairs are tied up with a rubber band. Each of his ringlets.
That was actually what she walked into when he was fucking in the room. His hair was in pigtails, and
something to hold on to.
Yeah, the other girl, her hair was also in pigtails. He's holding it like it's reins.
And when he turns around and he drops his robe, he's got his pubes. His pubes are in pigtails. But they're each attached to one ball. So one ball has one pigtail, one ball has the other pigtail.
We're never going to picture him the same.
Oh, trauma. Oh,
so the pigtails are away. Lilith is back at his manor, recovering. And this is where we start to learn a little more about Vale. We get a mention of the House of Night. Vale then, there's a knock at the door, and he receives a letter from a faceless creature that quite honestly just sounded disgusting. I was like, no, I don't do things with no faces. Georgia doesn't do dust. Bryony doesn't do pigtails. Like, we just, no.
We're not here for it.
I was not here for it. But from this, the story really starts to amp up. Lilith is desperate for blood to save her sister and explains so pretty emotionally to Vale. She starts to get really sad and tells him, I think it makes him a little bit sad too. And they start to work together as he becomes more open to all of her science stuff.
I love it.
But it's so quick because it's such a short book. All of this happens in the space of like two chapters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, he goes on to make me fall to my knees, guys. And he says, whatever you need, my blood, my books, my knowledge, anything, it's yours.
Oh.
So after a week of that, and she takes full advantage of that, mind you, as she's heading home, Vale goes out there and says, may I write you?
May I write you.
Me? Yes.
It's giving Pride and Prejudice. It's giving Regency.
Oh, it was too much.
Mm-hmm.
There's like two elements, right? There's smart, and then there's the complete opposite. May I write you? And it just has the same effect.
It does. That's what I love so much about, like, so I'm a big slow burn lover because I love when there is built tension, and between the two of them, you can see that there is this connection that even they can't see at times. And it's just like subtle touches or just like words.
Oh, lingering looks. Eye connection.
The intimacy of a near touch.
Yeah. Oh,
the hand flex.
Oh, feral.
May I write you? Yes, sir, you may. I love this because I love letters in any book or movie. There's swoony comments and little drawings. Like, he's drawing her little birds. I can't. And then he's sending her research and things that he's found. And I just can't get over how much I was living for it. Like, Vamp Daddy, hello. Hello. Yes. He won me with, like, the robe, but he really won me with the letters.
Yeah,
you won me with that robe and those pigtails, and like, you've kept me with the intimacy of a near touch.
Yep, he could write up inside my cooch.
Why is he autographing up there?
So we fast forward a little bit after that, and throughout the letters, Lilith realizes Vale has found the cure. They've figured it out, but before she can celebrate, Pharaoh comes out of nowhere and tells her to run. You're sort of like, okay, what's happening? And she has to get to Vale. Pharaoh makes it his business to tag along. I was a little bit concerned here. I was thinking someone's going to die. They get to Vale's estate and he's brutally attacked, and there is just blood and shit everywhere.
Oh, he's blood and shit. There's shit all
everywhere. He's destroyed the place, but they've also destroyed him.
He's eaten really a really bad curry. He has just destroyed them.
He's shat everywhere.
I don't know whether he shat or whether he made them shit. Just
yeah.
He's actually been like, before you can enter my household, you must eat this butter chicken. Just...
Vale's pretty hurt, but he heals quick. Vamp Daddy, you can't cut him down. Vale tells Lilith he's heading back to Obitrace.
It looks like obtuse. I'm saying it's obtuse. I'm just giving random words to random things.
It's an obtuse obituary.
Anyway, Vale tells Lilith he's heading back to the Obitrace, back to his first love, the House of Night.
Okay, good. Not a woman.
But he has reservations and he's torn because he says, I want only you, Lilith, whatever of you I can have. I'll take one night, 1 hour, 1 minute, whatever you want to give me, I'll have it.
That makes me feral because she's all like, you want more than I can give you, mate.
I'm dying.
Like, I am dying.
I'm dying. That's it. She's like, you can't, like, I'm dying. And he's like, but I'll have whatever. Like, I'm living forever and you're going to die tomorrow. So what have really? You got to lose?
Really, you're getting more out of this than I am.
Yeah.
But then we have a kiss and it is hot. And then we hit chapter 19 and they do the deed. The tension explodes. The banter has led to this very moment.
Like, they're fucking. And she's like, let's go doggy, because I want you as hard as and as deep as you can get. If it's not coming out my mouth, then we're not going deep enough.
Yeah.
Rotisserie me.
Wait, let me just put in my pigtails.
Grab hold, Vamp Daddy.
But, like, so she's like, she's on all fours. And then he's like, roll over. Because I'm going to just make direct eye contact. Just, I'm not blinking.
Oh, God, in my nightmares. Jesus.
The whole chapter, it's beautiful. But it's not a happy ending, is it? It's not.
Neither of them come.
Well, I think they do finish. Lilith notices that Taurus has come. Taurus?
The Suzuki Vitara.
She wakes up in the morning, there's the clouds, and she leaves Vamp Daddy, and she says, look, I've got to go. You've got to go do your thing. Obitrace, and I've got to go save my sister. It's a whole thing. And she begs him to leave, and he's smart enough to not beg her to stay.
Oh my God. We love a man who can just trust his woman.
Trust. Lilith heads back home. Fuck me sideways. Vix Vapordrops has just come in to ruin everything.
How rude, fucking honestly. Vix. Well, basically, Vix Vapordrops is like, yes, your daddy made a deal. And our girl is like, well, hey now, I put in brackets, this is what dreams are made of.
Don't. Of course I did. Hey now.
That's just all the villagers.
This is my dreams.
Oh my God, they're all in the corner.
I made it.
Sing to me, Paolo.
Oh, shit.
Lizzie McGuire.
Here she is. Our girl was like, well, hey now, I would really like to make a little deal with you, like father, like daughter. Not like our last episode where the we fought our ex-boyfriend's father. No.
The dad seemed to make a really poor decision, and he was like, I know I am a farmer, and you can't eat roses, but it makes me really sad that these roses are dying.
But the roses are also linked to her life.
Yeah.
I think.
In his defense, he was hoping it was just the soil in general.
Yeah, true.
Not necessarily the roses. No excuse to kill the entire population.
Yeah, no. I support his decision. Fuck the world.
Hey, we got nails. I support it too.
Yeah, exactly. So she gives him back the flowers and her healthy life. Okay. So he plants a giant fuck off non-consensual kiss on her lips and takes all of her life force. And like, I feel like we've all had one of those kisses where like, there's just too much fucking tongue. That's what I imagine.
You know. And isn't he all like veiny and like,
he's
all dead, gross. Half alive.
Yeah. Covered in dust.
It's like, do you guys remember you used to put makeup on and you'd do the foundation lips?
Yeah.
Yep.
Icky.
Ashy.
To top this off, Vale is apparently shouting in desperation. Oh, feral.
Feral, say less, come now. I don't know.
Come in me. That would be
come
nice.
Come in me.
Don't mind the villagers.
Peasants, stay back.
She wakes up, right? So she thinks she's goners. But then she wakes up and Mina and Vamp Daddy are there. And Vale is pleading with her and is like, do you want to fucking live, bitch?
So cool.
She is like, yes, I want to live. and then he turns her into a vamp mummy.
Oh,
vamp daddy, vamp mummy.
It's vamp a whole vamp family. They're all the roses. They're the children. She wakes up and she's like, ah! Literally like that, like a little bird. And she tries to yeet herself off the bed, but our vamp daddy is there and he ends up explaining what happened. She remembers and she doesn't regret it, okay?
Nice.
So we get this quote.
Hell no.
I knew that I would be making a mistake in leaving you, he said softly. I knew it, even if I couldn't name precisely why, so I came for you.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Mina, the dusty sister, is there, and they have a reunion.
Why do I picture her just having this, like, dusty essence?
Yeah, she, like, touches you and it leaves, like, a little, like, chalk mark behind.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, that's gross.
Poor Mina. Sorry, love. You didn't choose this life.
Dusty life chose her.
Mina is there and they have a reunion and it's really beautiful. And Mina is like, so you're going to go be with them, daddy, right? And our girl is like, no, I don't want to leave you. But Mina's like, babe. And then we get this quote. You've spent your whole damn life dying, Lilith. Now you've gotten that out the way. You get to go live.
We love supporting women.
Yeah.
And I think too, because you sort of go in thinking Mina might be a little bit of a bitch, perhaps just a little bit like a woe is me type character. But when she sort of says, well, no, go and be free.
Live.
You know, look at what you've done. It's like, oh, yes.
Live long and prosper, my sister in Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Literally. Fucking hell. Vale is really fucking awkward. She ends up giving him the final rose, and obviously it's dying. And he's like, okay, so, like, now our deal is complete. Do you, like, you know, want to come to Arbitres with me? Like, maybe, like, I don't know. This is the quote, okay? Ask, I whispered. I need to return to Arbitres. He leaned in a little closer so each word brushed my mouth. And here he snuck a little kiss in, a faint graze of his tongue over my lips. I intend to go back to the House of Night. And another touch, barely a kiss, mine this time. Come with me, he said. He exhaled the plea and I took it into my lungs. Yes. I love it.
Yes.
We end up finishing the book off with this quote, and it is literally everything. Vale had discarded the weathered rose in favor of my skin. The petals spread around us, now nothing but decaying dust, unnatural life, rightful death, and Vale and I between both, beholden to neither and everything we were ever meant to be.
Oh, brilliant. Sensational.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. So quick, and so much happened in such a tiny little book.
This was phenomenal.
Yeah, just so much happens in such a short amount of time. And I think when you can get so engrossed in a book where you want to read it in one sitting, like, that says a lot.
Yeah.
In fact, you can read it in one sitting. Like, you can. You literally look at it and go, yeah, like, I'm just going to sit here and devour. But yeah, I loved it and I loved Vale.
Yeah.
Fabuloso. Loved every second.
For a music reference, Jess has got a beautiful suggestion, and that is Oblivion by Bastille.
I'm looking at the lyrics like, oh, are you going to age with grace?
Oh.
Only to wake to hide your face when Oblivion is calling out your name. You always take it further than I ever can when you play it hard and I try to follow you. Like, it's
okay, kind of works.
Kind of works. Are you going to age without mistakes? Are you going to age with grace? Well, no, she's not, because he turned her into a vampire. When Oblivion is calling out your name.
When Vic's Vapor Drops is trying to get her.
Yeah, Oblivion's calling her out.
And then for fan art, there wasn't actually that much, which is really sad, because this is a really good book and it deserves more fan art.
Agreed.
The only one I could find was Castle in the Sky did one, and they did a scene of when Vale is being attacked by peasants.
I wanted the scene in the bedroom with the pigtails. But
right?
Anyway.
I wanted the pigtails.
And the robe.
I wanted the scene of him, like, screaming in desperation, like, as she's, you know, dying. I needed that personally for for myself.
Thank you, Jess, for joining us for this episode, and we can't wait to have you back soon for some more shenanigans.
Yes, thanks, guys. Loved it. Definitely invite me back anytime.
We will be back next week to cover Pen Pal by, is it J.T. Geisinger?
Geisinger.
Geisinger? Yep.
That sounds right. We'll do
I'm
that.
I'm keen to hear your thoughts on that one.
I'm so excited.
I'm going to listen to that.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Sorry.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube if you haven't already at A Book and a Bev Podcast.
Please rate, like, and subscribe. We hear that helps.
We love and appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.